Crazy Porks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy, scatty-dee-bop, shabba-dooey. You'll revel in hilarity. It's pork therapy.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Mike.
And hello, Stephanie.
Yes. Nice to be here with you tonight.
It is, as always.
Yes. Always a joy. I think we're both in pretty good health tonight, right, Mike? Did you get your flu shot? Did you get your flu shot? It's like those stickers that
say...
Yeah,
I shot my flu.
I don't even know what that means, but it sounds kind of funny.
Got it shot. I shot it. Caramba.
Like the flu on your chimney?
Yes.
We're off to a wonderful start, as usual.
No, I did not get my flu shot. Actually, I was asked that.
That's like, did you pay your taxes? Did you vote?
Wow.
Did you cast your vote?
I actually was in the ER last week for a dislocated shoulder, a separated
shoulder. Last week?
Yeah, it popped out again.
I had no idea, Mike. I'm so sorry.
Let's talk about that.
Okay, let's talk about that off the air.
But while I was in the ER, they asked me if I had had a flu shot, and it's probably some routine question to cover their ass. But I told them no, and they suggested, you know, they started to hand me literature about how they can give it to me for this or that or whatever. And no, I have not gotten a flu shot, and I will not get a flu shot.
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
No, I did not. I haven't gotten one, and I don't plan on it.
And that leads us to our episode.
Yes.
Let's jump right into this one.
Sure, let's give some background.
We have a friend whose boyfriend's sister is about to have a baby,
mm-hmm.
and the sister, the mother-to-be, wants my friend
mm-hmm.
to get a flu shot, otherwise not be around the baby.
Right.
And
the mother has requested that everyone who wants to see the baby
yes.
before a certain age, is that right?
Yes, and 8 weeks old, she says.
Okay, so anyone who wants to be around the baby...
Anyone who wants to hold or touch.
Hold or touch the baby before their baby is 8 weeks old, the mother is requesting that they get a flu shot or else refrain from being around the baby, right?
That is correct, or perhaps she would still let them be around them if they wore one of those doctor masks. Those filtration masks.
Okay.
And my friend is against getting a flu shots for numerous reasons, which we'll try and summarize
sure.
on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And told her, hey, I'm not going to get a flu shot for this reason, but I am clean and I am, you know, healthy and et cetera, and I will wear a mask if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's not really a question there, but this is kind of important.
Well, I think she did ask us for our advice and to talk about this because, you know, she was kind of wondering, like, what's the best way to handle this situation? You know, how's she going to talk to this mother-to-be who's obviously really concerned about the kid, but what the mother wants our friend to do kind of conflicts with her beliefs.
Yeah.
About flu shots and something conflicts with something that she wants to, a decision that she wants to make about her own body. So this affects her autonomy as well.
Right.
Yes. So, okay, should we talk about this situation, right?
Yeah. And let's start with one item that we've mentioned already. And that is the mom says that the baby's immune system isn't activated until the baby is 8 weeks old. Therefore, before the immune system's activated, the baby's more susceptible. So unless you're immunized, no being around the baby, no holding or touching the baby
yeah.
until 8 weeks old. The mother goes on to say, you're still welcome in our house. You'll just have to wash your hand a lot.
Yeah. So I think the mother might be suffering some misinformation there.
As are so many people.
Yeah.
Including myself, but... There's just so much misinformation out there. So
yeah, there is a lot of misinformation out there. But, you know, babies do have immune systems. Their immune systems are not, like, dormant, you know, when they're born. Especially if they get breast milk. They do get some antibodies from the mother's antibodies.
Did they not get any in the womb through the umbilical cord?
No, they do. They do get the mother's, you know, IgG from that. But from, you know, it's kind of a misrepresentation to say that the baby's immune system is not activated before 8 weeks, and then suddenly it switches on like a switch, you know?
Yeah, that's right. 8 weeks at 6:01 p.m., ping, you're healthy.
Yeah. I mean, definitely babies do have a little bit of increased susceptibility to some diseases because their immune system may not be fully developed yet, but it doesn't mean it's inactive. So there is, you know, that's a little bit of misinformation there. And then the mother goes on to say that she will allow people who are not vaccinated against the flu, which is influenza virus, the strains of which change every year. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But the mother says she doesn't want anyone who's not immunized against the flu in the house unless they're washing their hands a lot. Now, hands can be a fomite or something that transmits germs from person to person. But for the flu, I think that it's pretty well known that it's transmitted by the air. So there are respiratory droplets, right? They're like kind of
sneezing, coughing,
sneezing, coughing,
humid
talking.
Air. Yeah.
That comes out of people's mouths and noses. Yeah, as you said, spittle on the last episode, Mike.
I did.
You said that on our germ aggression episode. You just called it spittle, which was a very good term. I like that term. Okay. So, you know, there's little droplets that come out of people's mouths and noses, and those are carrying the flu virus. It's not really, it's not on people's skin. It can be transmitted without touching. So that's another thing that this mother is saying. She's saying she doesn't want anyone touching the baby. Now, granted, if you're close enough to touch, it might be more likely that you would be able to breathe on the baby and transmit it that way. But the touch itself is not what's going to necessarily transmit the flu. Unless maybe someone sneezed on their hand and then touched or something.
And by the way, if you did that, or even if you didn't sneeze on your hand, but you happened to wave your hand in air that had the flu, the influenza, how long would it survive on your hand?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know. Oh. But theoretically, sure, it could be possible to transmit it that way.
Okay.
So.
Well, I just wondered if it was like 5 minutes or 5 days or something.
Sure.
And I don't know. Okay.
It's different for different viruses. I know that it's been studied with the HIV virus, how long it survives outside of the body. And for that particular virus, it's like a pretty short life, as I understand it. It can only survive for less than a day or something like that outside.
Well, you did just say it's different for different viruses. And so let me use that to segue into another topic.
Sure.
Influenza changes every year.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
So that's a different virus every year.
Yeah.
It's not a different virus. It's a different version?
Yeah, it's basically a different version.
Okay.
So think of it as like a software or whatever, and then, you know, version one comes out 1 year, and then the next year it's version two, or, and then over the course of the year, it may be version 2.1, 2.2, 2.3.
Right. Ooh, good point.
So,
that mean for vaccines?
It means that the vaccine for the flu virus is different every year as well, because it's going to be a different virus. And so what these... You getting sick, Mike? Are you okay?
Yeah, I just caught the virus.
Just talking about it is making you sick. Well, so what these companies do is they go, basically they go to China in the spring before the winter that they're going to make the flu vaccine for, right? So they go to...
In the spring, so half a year before.
Half a year before, exactly. And they sample viruses, usually from birds and from animals. And it, like the flu viruses, I guess it starts in birds.
Okay.
So they get samples of virus from Asia, and then they come back to the U.S. and they develop these vaccines. And by the time the vaccine is produced and manufactured and distributed, it's 6 months later. It's now the winter, and in the U.S., this virus has gradually traveled around the world and is now making people sick in the U.S., but it's also had 6 months to mutate and change, and it's been in many different people's bodies, and it can mutate and change a lot. And in fact, this is something that the virus is known for. And so it's not a guarantee that the flu virus vaccine for that year is going to be effective at preventing the flu virus by the time that virus makes it to the U.S.
Let me ask a somewhat tangential question.
Sure.
So American pharmaceutical companies go to China 6 months in advance to sample flu viruses.
Mm-hmm.
Because 6 months later, that flu might have traveled to the U.S.
As I understand it, yes.
Does that mean, offset by 6 months, Chinese pharmaceutical companies come to the U.S. to sample? And I'm serious. Does that mean, because why do all the flus start in China?
That's a great question. I don't know. I think it might be because of the birds.
The birds in China?
Yeah, because it starts in these birds. That's Mike. Hmm. I think I'm reaching the limits of my knowledge here, but okay. I'm not really sure.
I'll have to look that up. Anyway, so the flu virus changes constantly to some extent,
mm-hmm.
and it's at least 6 months before the flu virus, before the flu that was designed. Let's see, how do I say this? It's been at least 6 months since the design of the vaccine
mm-hmm.
can even be used against the virus. So it's 6 months of mutation.
Sure.
And what about testing? You know, they.
Yeah. How can they possibly test it? At, you know,
with those speeds and
right.
those distance, yeah.
Right. So it doesn't really, I mean, I think the general recipe for the flu virus has certainly been tested and
it's,
you know, shown
probably pretty good statistically.
Yeah, probably it showed, you know, good results and it mm-hmm. was able to induce immunity in the models that they tested it in and in animals and people and so on. But for each individual vaccine every year, there's just, I don't think there's really time to do much of that heavy duty testing, right?
Right.
And to test whether it's effective against the prevailing strains. And so the statistics that I've seen, you know, I'm just basically repeating what I've seen from published studies and on the internet. You know, from what I've seen, it's 30 to 60% effective. The seasonal flu vaccine is 30 to 60% effective at preventing the flu virus if someone gets the immunization.
30 to 60. So at best,
it's
60%. Two-thirds of a chance.
Yes.
That less than two-thirds of a chance. No, less than two-thirds percent. What's the rate? How do I say that? At best, 60% chance that this will prevent you from getting the flu.
Sure, sure.
So it costs,
over the course of that season.
Right. So that, right.
And it doesn't, I think none of them really provide protection from year to year either. So
right. You have to get it again and again.
You have to get it.
Costs
again and
money.
Again every year.
You have to put all the other chemicals that are in the flu, in the vaccine, into your body.
Yeah, that's another thing. So some people are concerned. Again, I don't really want to get too deep into the rabbit hole on this, but for some people, they're concerned about some of the things that may be either contaminating the flu shots or are mixed in as adjuvants or something that increases the likelihood that the vaccine will induce immunity to the virus that's being vaccinated against or the pathogen or whatever. So there are some concerns about that as well. So there are many different reasons why people would not want to get vaccines. On the flip side, there are many different reasons why people would want to get mm-hmm. vaccines because, hey, you know, if you're real sick and you really cannot afford to get the flu, like if you have a pre-existing lung disease or if you're old or if you have diabetes or something like that, and you're like, hey, if I have a 60% chance of being protected against the flu, that's awesome. That's really worth it. Maybe for some people it is worth it.
Yeah.
So I think everybody has to do their own cost-benefit analysis.
And research.
And research.
And I want to say that...
It's probably different for different vaccines, too.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And this... It's there's a big to-do, I guess, a big group of people who believe that certain vaccines cause autism or some ingredient in certain vaccines causes autism.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the flu vaccine that they're concerned about.
Actually, I think
it is.
I think it's one of them. They're concerned about the mercury as far as I understand
it. Which is a preservative, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Which is a preservative.
So we don't want to get into that. And please don't send us your emails asking about that or complaining about that or whatever. But there is... You know, do your own research, but I could also refer you to a podcast called Skeptoid, who did one episode, I don't know, in the last few months, about whether or not vaccines cause autism.
Mm-hmm.
And I recommend at least listening to it, if not starting there, because he not only does a lot of good research, and it's a very short, easy to understand audio podcast, but he also really urges you to do your own research and kind of suggests how. So
interesting.
A good place to start for that.
That's cool. Yeah, as far as I know, there's not really any solid evidence that vaccines cause autism.
Right.
Or that the mercury in the vaccines causes autism. It may be possible that the vaccines themselves or the amount of vaccines in a short time that are given to kids or something that could be possibly something that affects autism. But as far as I know, there's a study where I think it was in Sweden or one of the countries that has this like socialized medical system, and they keep these records about everything.
Mm-hmm.
They had these vaccines, and they all contained the mercury-containing preservative, which is thimerosal. And they looked at a bunch of kids who were receiving these vaccines that had all had mercury in them, and they were getting them at the same time. And they tracked the kids to see whether they developed autism. And then, by some kind of decree or law or something like that, the mercury-containing preservative thimerosal, actually, I don't know why it was removed, but for some reason it was removed from all the vaccines in this country. And the rates of autism still continued to increase after this preservative was removed. So it seemed like that was probably providing some evidence that this particular preservative was not the cause of autism.
And yet still people believe it.
Yeah, but it's a very pervasive kind of meme. And I understand, I mean, I think I understand where people are coming from, especially because it tends to be the case that doctors and governments and all these kind of people that are in positions of authority are just really not really listening to or addressing these people's concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe they're concerned about the safety, but nobody takes the time to explain, well, you know, these are the potential risks and benefits, and nobody really listens to their concerns. And also, I think their need for autonomy is also not being recognized, because sometimes...
Whose need? The people who still believe?
Maybe parents who are concerned about vaccinating their kids or have questions about them or something like that. You know, they need some autonomy and choice making, and they're trying to protect their kids. They also have a need for their kids' safety. And what they're hearing from these people in authority is, nope, get the vaccine, don't ask questions about it, right?
Yeah, that is
everybody
really
should
governance.
Get it.
Yeah, that's which isn't necessarily true, but not for the reasons they're afraid of.
Yes, yes. So
not necessarily for those reasons.
Not necessarily, right. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So I think we've done the vaccine thing pretty well.
Right, but I wanted to talk very briefly about another aspect of this scenario, and that's not the vaccines and what should be done or not done with the baby, but what my friend did in terms of the relationship. She had a relationship with this person, and how did that happen?
With the mother of the baby, yeah.
So, first of all, the mother of the baby had a need, and she expressed it.
For the safety of her baby.
Right. She said, I need you to do this. Now, it may have been based on faulty information. It may be a bad decision. I don't know. But she had a need, and she expressed it. My friend had an opposing need, or
a conflicting need,
and expressed that. And so what my friend did was basically say,
I'm not going to get a flu vaccine.
I don't, you know, not in these words, she said, I don't agree with what you say you need, but I will try and help you by doing this instead.
She proposed an alternative.
Yeah, she proposed numerous. So she said, I don't want to get a vaccine for this, 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 and this reasons, but I prefer and feel safer using a natural way of preventing a potential flu. For example, washing my hands frequently, taking vitamin D, covering my mouth, and if necessary, wearing a mask. So she gave all kinds of other ways to help help the mother-to-be's needs, right?
Yeah, I think she was kind of trying to show that she's also cares about the baby's health, right, which is what the mother cares about.
Yep.
But she's kind of giving these alternatives and saying, instead of getting a flu shot, I'd prefer to do this and this and this. Now, I'm not sure if those things would be effective at preventing the flu or whatever.
But then neither would a flu vaccine.
Well, yeah, exactly. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of up in the air anyway. Probably the most effective thing she could do is to either wear a mask or cover her mouth. But even that might be overkill. Because if she doesn't have the flu and she's
not
walking around wearing wearing a mask,
so you know, go lick the baby and it's not going to give her. Yeah, but my point is, the mom had a need and she expressed it. How else is it going to get met? And then my friend had a conflicting need and she expressed it. And as far as I understand, both of them are happy with the results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that went pretty well.
Yeah,
you know that they kind of reached a compromise where they could both get their needs met.
Yeah,
at least that's how it seemed.
Right.
Something kind of struck me also about this question. This mother is really, really concerned about the baby getting the flu, and we think that it's possible she might be a bit misinformed. I was just wondering, like, why the mother is so concerned about the flu in particular and not other viruses. I mean, for instance, when I heard about this situation, I was thinking, well, geez, like, there are so many other viruses, like digestive tract viruses, you know, rotavirus. The kids sometimes get that from other kids. A lot of babies actually acquire herpes virus, like the, you know, basically cold sores on their face or lips when older adults kiss them and unknowingly transmit that virus to them.
Right.
And the, you know, is this mother planning on bringing this baby to the grocery store? She could be exposed to all kinds of germs there that are airborne or that are on surfaces.
E. coli in the broccoli.
Anything, yeah.
In the spinach. Sorry.
In the food, yeah. I mean, so...
I would guess that she's concerned about the flu because of all the hype, especially from government.
Yes, that's where I was going with this. Because I think that sometimes certain dangers, or so-called dangers, are just really overblown by mainstream media and government.
Remember the bird flu? Was that?
Yes, H1N1 bird flu.
Now, and that was a big hype. Was it last year or 2 years ago?
Oh, wait, no, that was the swine flu.
Swine flu, I'm thinking of. So remember the swine flu?
H1N1 was the swine flu.
Was it last year or 2 years ago?
It was, I think...
The big hype from government and all the scare.
I think it was last year.
Whenever it was.
I don't even know.
I think the stats ended up being, you know, there was all this hype and all this fear about it and all this stuff, but I think the stats ended up being like
the
100 people died from it a year, whereas... thousands died from some much more common, like the
seasonal flu.
The seasonal flu every year, and no one makes this much hype over the seasonal flu.
Yeah, I mean, it was the WHO declared a pandemic.
Yeah, something nonsensical.
Something that didn't kill anyone.
Yeah, something almost statistically insignificant.
Yeah, I mean, there was just no reason, and there were all this money poured into it, all this hype,
all this fear,
scare tactics.
Boy, we need more government now.
Yeah, exactly. And in the end, it didn't really even amount to a hill of beans. I mean, I feel bad for people who got sick from it and died. Of course, I don't mean
it's
to minimize them, but it's... I don't think it warranted the amount of fear and panic that it provoked.
Right. And it's very possible that this mom's fear of the flu virus is a microcosm of that.
Yeah,
she hears the hype and overreacts, even though it's not nearly as serious as swine flu.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, the one last thing I want to say is I'm really proud of our friend for asserting her own independence and her need for choice in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because she wasn't going to be pushed into doing something that she didn't want to do. But she, you know, she was polite and she offered alternatives and she tried to make sure that everyone could reach a happy solution anyway.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, well done. Cool. So anything else you want to say about this, Mike?
Nah.
Meh.
Okay. Meh.
Well, I recommend wearing a mask when you listen to Pork Therapy because there are some contagious ideas of liberty that we're spreading. And
I recommend wearing earphones when you listen to this
podcast. Wearing earphones, yeah. You got to have that protection on your ears.
Oh, we didn't talk about ear hair in the last episode.
We didn't. Oh, we did. We just recorded an episode about hair, but we didn't talk about ear hair. So
okay.
That'll be whole new episode. 2 hours of ear hair talk.
Wow.
Tune in next episode. Go to our website, porktherapy.com.
You can send us your questions at questions@porktherapy.com.
Yes, or you can call us at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Leave us a voicemail or get in touch with us either by phone or by email. And you can be a guest on our podcast, right?
If you'd like.
Yes.
And we'd like it.
Yes, if you'd like. Oh, one thing that I forgot to mention last episode was we did actually have some listener feedback who, you know, we were talking about some feelings and needs in the last episode. Somebody contacted me and said that they were really enjoying learning about nonviolent communication, which we which we did 2 episodes on. This person said that they found it from our podcast and they learned about it and they were really thought it was beneficial in their life. And so wanted to thank us for putting that up.
Well, thank you for letting us know.
Yeah. And thanks for listening. We're really thrilled about that. So anything else you want to say, Mike?
Nuh-uh.
Nuh-uh. Okay.
Thank you all for listening.
Thank you, and stay well, I guess, this winter. And don't send us vaccine emails, please, please, please. Anyway, we'll see you next time. Mike,
bye.
You gotta sneeze.
They're two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4.